your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6. What we're going to do, I want to talk to you about anchoring your soul, which just comes in behind some things that we said this morning. But in the Hebrews chapter 6, beginning with verse 13, actually, it says, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, Surely, blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. And so after that he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise, that promise being Isaac. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things," we know that's the word and the promise and the oath, "in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters into that within the veil." Note, this anchor is going into the veil. You get the picture of the Old Testament tabernacle, and we're going behind the veil. We're talking about where the presence of God was. This hope that we have, which is the anchor of the soul, this hope goes behind the veil. Now, I could say this hope takes one into the presence of God, okay? "Where the forerunner is for us and entered, even Jesus, made our high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Then turn over to the 13th chapter of Hebrews, and let's look at verses 5 and 6. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. "Let your conversation or your lifestyle be without covetousness, and be content with such as you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." That's what I want to bring your attention to. "I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Then turn back to Ephesians chapter 6, and I want us to look at verses 10 through 18. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10. "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all people, especially unto those who are of the household of faith." And I'm in Galatians, not Ephesians. So let me turn a page or two, okay? Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and verse 10. "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the trickery of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and authorities, against the rulers of the world, darkness, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, world rulers," you understand, "against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now, this is actually talking about demonic spirits. There are demonic spirits that rule worlds, kingdoms, or whatever. You can see this in Daniel when he prays and his prayer doesn't get answered. And Gabriel says, "You know, I was dispatched the first day, but it took me 20, I'm paraphrasing all this, it took 21 days to get through because I was engaged in battle with the prince of Persia. And Michael's the only one that helped me. And when I go back, the prince of Greece is going to arise." One kingdom, one spirit had to be taken down before the other could come up, okay? Now, I'm not going to go into all the detail of that. I just wanted you to understand what he's talking about. "Against spiritual wickedness in high places, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, standing therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the best breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication, note this, in the Spirit, not out of your head, which most prayers are prayed out of the head. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly, so as I ought to speak. Then turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and let's look at verses 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning with verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, though we walk in a physical body, we do not war after the flesh. We do not war carnally or naturally. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, I wanted to read those scriptures as a foundation, a base for some things that we're going to say. Most of what we did this morning was just sharing with you the things that God had spoken to me, I believe prophetically. And He gave me the scripture to begin with, that hope was the anchor of the soul. And so I want to talk to you about that anchor, that hope. And, you know, I trust you know what an anchor is, but if you don't, let me just explain a little bit, all right? The anchor is not something you just throw overboard and it dangles. In order for that anchor to be effective, that anchor has to dig in to the floor of the river, the ocean, or whatever. It's called mooring. In other words, you dig that thing in to where your boat won't drift. And if you don't dig in tightly, even though you have the anchor dropped, that boat is going, or ship, whatever, is going to move. And so when He's talking about our hope has to get into the presence of God. In other words, it has to be moored to God, to the Spirit of God, to where our hope is so attached to God, and the hope is out of our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotion get attached to God, to where God's holding and keeping our mind, will, and emotions from drifting where they shouldn't drift and taking us where we don't want to go. Does that make sense to you? And when you hear, have you ever heard the term anchors away? You know what it means? It just simply means that the anchor is dangling. It's not on the floor of the ocean or the river anymore. Now, it's up. Okay? Just for information's sake. All right? Now, with those things in mind, and understanding the perilous times that we're in, and the things that are going on, the battle that's raging throughout the world today is in the thinking of people. People have their hope in the wrong thing. And it is imperative that we get our hope in God that will stabilize us, keep us from drifting. Now, He starts out using Abraham. You think about this. God makes a promise to Abraham when he's 75 years old, a promised seed. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. So for 25 years, he believed in the promise of God. He would not consider the circumstances. Sarah's being barren to begin with, nor Sarah's age, nor his age. He would not take those things into consideration. That is no match for the Word of God. God's Word is more real than the circumstance. That's getting into God. That's anchoring deep, you understand. That will control your thought life. And he saw that Word come to pass. Now, we know that there's three important things that last forever: faith, hope, and charity, right? Faith, hope, love. And he says the greatest of these is love. Now, why would he say that? because the others are contingent upon how much we love God. The more I love God, the more time I spend with God. The more I love God, the more I listen to God. You understand? And so when I start developing in the love of God and start learning things about God, I become confident in God and believe God more than I believe what I'm seeing. But from the time you're born, people are taught to believe what you see. And consequently, it keeps people from believing God. And we talk about faith, but very few people are actually living by faith. They're hoping, wishing, and hoping. Hope's important. Hope sets the goal. Hope sees that promise of God. Hope hears that word of God. Well, every one of us in here are exercising hope because we heard that Jesus Christ died for our sins. And if we'll accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, that we'll live eternally with the Lord. That's a hope. And that hope has to stay attached. It has to dig deep. It has to be moored, you understand, to the Spirit of God. So that keeps us on course to where we think saved, so we talk saved, and so we act saved. You following me? People who don't meet that criteria are moored into the Spirit of God. Hope anchors our soul. People today have their hope in systems. Now, I want to tell you something. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but at lunch today, I got to thinking, you know, I believe God spoke something to me some time ago. And so I went on YouTube and started looking, and I found April the 17th of 2019, the Lord said to me He was going to shake everything that could be shaken. You can go back and look at it. It's on YouTube. You can listen to it. I see that right now. Shaking the political system, shaking the economic system, shaking the education system, shaking the religious system, shaking the athletic system, shaking the entertainment system. Everything that can be shaken is being shaken right now. So that the things that can't be stand. That's why you'd better get your hope in the Spirit. The spirit world is not going to be shaken. The kingdom of God cannot be shook by anyone. You understand? It's stable. It's established. And so all these things going around you won't affect you if you stay fixed on the Lord. Isaiah says it this way, you'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Why? Because you trust in you. Where's our trust? Where's our hope? Where's our faith? Where's our love? Is it in things and stuff? People? Or is it in God? Is it in the Lord Jesus Christ? Is my hope in Him? You know, over the years, I've had some interesting questions asked to me about the life hereafter, going to heaven, as so many people say. And what interests me is everything that they're asking me is from a natural perspective. Heaven's not natural. And people are still hung up on the natural world. Will I be married to him or her? Or will I know mom and daddy? Will I know that? I said, of course you're going to know. The Spirit knows. You know as you're known. But no, there's no marrying in heaven. Jesus himself said that. There's a marriage supper of the Lamb. To where everybody is united with Jesus. We're all one with Jesus. Yet it's not going to be picking favorite type stuff. You with me? Our favorite's going to be Him. He's going to be the favorite of everybody. That's pretty profound, really, when you think about it. And everybody focused on Him, you're established in Him, we're not going anywhere. We're going to go with Him. We're going to go with Him. We're going to be with Him. We're going to be one with Him. Well, why not do that now? See, a lot of people want to wait till they die. Why not become one with Him now? Why not anchor deep in Him now? Why not get our hope in Him now? Why not get our eyes off of the world now and get our eyes on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Get our eyes fixed on Him, our minds thinking like He thinks. You understand? Then instead of talking like the world, we'll be talking like the Lord. You with me? Instead of acting like the world, we'll be acting like the Lord. Instead of being in a panic like the world, we'll be at peace. Well, how can you be at peace? My God will supply all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If I've done right by God, God's going to do right by me. You understand? And I'm not talking about rewarding. I'm just saying God's a God of absolute integrity and He's good for His Word. That's a promise out of the Word of God. That's a promise that I can hang on to. You follow me? Now, let's go back to this this battle. Why would my hope need to be anchored? Because something is tugging at me. Something's trying to pull me away from God. And I'm telling you, the intensity of that pull is as strong as it's ever been, I believe, in the history of mankind. There's a strong pull, a strong move to pull people away from God. Such an antichrist spirit that's permeated the land, and I'm talking about all over the world, not just one nation, but trying to pull people away from God, telling us that God doesn't even exist, or that that's not the true God, and all these other things, or then trying to water down our beliefs. A strong pull. Let me tell you, if you're not anchored deep, there's some slick-tongued salesman out there that can convince you to believe a lie. And religion is full of it. Loving what God hates. No, there's no part for that. And I believe it's going to be like the Lord said to me yesterday. Separation to where you'll be able to identify the sheep from the goats. Now, there's a lot of people hang out in church, but how many hear the voice of God? How many follow the lead of the shepherd? They listen to too many other voices, and not the voice of the shepherd. And yet the Word of God says that His sheep know His voice. Jesus said it. And a stranger, they won't follow. They won't follow. And I'm telling you, it's amazing how many people are following strangers today because they don't know the voice of God. And they're putting their hope in the wrong thing. They've been pulled out of the presence of God. I was talking about this morning, I mentioned, you know, when I was growing up, church services... I've been in the church I don't know how many times after midnight. 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. And the presence of God be extremely strong in the services. And people weeping before the Lord and all this type thing. And then, and you know, most of those pastors didn't even have a high school education. Probably junior high. But yet they sought God. And then when we decided that they needed to be educated, we pushed the Spirit of God out. Instead of the soul being anchored into the presence of God, now the soul's anchored in a Bible college, a seminary, or whatever. Now it's anchored in a piece of paper on the wall. It means nothing. And I saw it happen before my eyes, the Spirit of God left. You could write Ichabod across the door. The glory of the Lord has departed. You understand? What happened? The soul got pulled out of the presence of God. Wrong thinking produces wrong speech, produces wrong actions. And that's where we are today. But there is a remnant. Thank God there is always a remnant. Now, it's up to us whether we're in that remnant. Now, God is not playing favorites. You follow me? God is looking for committed people. Jesus prayed all night before He selected disciples, knowing that one of them was going to betray Him. Isn't that interesting? We need to be seeking God, and we need to be guarding our relationships. Don't enter into a deep association with people that are going to pull you into the world, that aren't going to edify you in the things of God, that will pull you out of the presence of God. I want to be around people that will take me into the presence of God, to where we enjoy the presence of God. And you're not going to get in the presence of God talking about the world and all its problems and all this stuff. And yet that is consuming the conversation of people today. Pulling at the soul. Not anchored in the presence of God. You've got to get anchored deep. There has to be a passionate hunger on the inside of us to know God. I want to know you. I'm not satisfied with knowing a few things about you, and I'm not satisfied that you've used me here, you used me there. I want to know you. I want to get closer to you. Like we were talking the other day about the two disciples of John the Baptist, when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God," they started following Jesus. He said, "What do you guys want?" They said, "We want to know where you live." And they stayed with him, and they found out where he lived. Not just a physical house. They found that he lived in the presence of God. And that's what we have to discipline ourselves to do, is to live in the presence of God, to where our hope is always anchored in the Spirit, not in the flesh, not in the natural, not in the circumstances. You know, all we have to do is read the Bible, and it's telling us about end times that we're already in. They actually started in the second chapter of Acts. Peter said, "This is that which Joel spoke about, that in the latter days." Well, guess what? If it was latter then, don't you think it's latter now? It's a whole lot farther along, right? And then Paul, writing to Timothy, said, "In the last day, perilous times will come." We're there, people. It's not something that's going to happen tomorrow or a few years down the road. We're in the middle of it. And what amazes me is how many people can be in the middle of the storm and don't know the storm's there. Get so caught up in their activity that they don't even know where they are. A lot of people on the highway to hell enjoying the trip, because they don't even understand the direction they're going. God wants us to wake up. He wants us to know we have hope. But our hope is in Him. We can't put our hope in anyone or anything else. We can't put our faith and trust in anyone or anything else. He's already said, "I'm going to shake everything that can be shaken." He won't be shaken. You won't shake the Holy Spirit. You won't shake the kingdom of God. Now, we know that that kingdom is in us from Luke 17:21. The kingdom of God is in us. And so what God's telling us is to live from the kingdom within instead of living from the kingdom without. Put your attention on the inside. Be led by the Spirit of God. Don't be influenced by the world around you. It'll get to the point they'll have you running and hiding in caves for fear. Men's hearts failing them for fear is one of the things. You with me? This is not a time to be afraid. This is a time to have an understanding of how much I need Jesus. Need to get anchored deep, dug in to where I'm secure. I'm secure. And those waves may rise, they may do whatever. You know, you put a little slack in the chain or the rope, to compensate for that. But you can ride it out. You ride it out. You ride it out. The worst thing you can do is pull that boat up to a pier and tie up. You're going to do some damage. And that's what too many people are trying to do. They're trying to tie up to a church. Trying to tie up to this, tie up to that. No. Anchor deep in God, in the Spirit of God. Be led by Him. Now, our weapons are not natural weapons. Is that what he said? So why is it that we want to sit around the table and try to solve the problems of the world naturally? I'm going to tell you how you get problems resolved on your face before God through intercession. You get in secret. You talk to the Lord in secret. Nobody around you. It's between you and God. I don't want anybody eavesdropping on my praying. I may be praying about you. Things that people don't need to know. Things to where we can just bare our heart before the Lord. But I do know that my weapons are mighty through God. Mighty through God. So I realize that people are not my enemy. It's the demonic influence that's driving the person that's my enemy. Hitler was not the enemy of the people. The demon that possessed him was the enemy of the people. You follow me? Or any of the other figures you want to bring out. These people were under the influence of the devil. The same thing holding true today. I could call names in our own Senate and Congress, but I'll refrain, that are demonic. You understand? Possessed of the devil. They're doing what the devil, they're bidding for the devil. Well, I can get all upset with that person, or I can understand that's a demon doing that. You deal with a person, you're not going to get anywhere. Break the stronghold. The demon. You understand? We're not wrestling with people. It's demonic. Now, here's our warfare that's in our thinking. The battlefield's the mind. What's captivating my mind? And the problem is people are so unstable. They believe God this minute, then they believe the circumstances the next minute. Double-minded is what James calls that. You know what he says about a double-minded person? Let not that person think they'll receive anything of the Lord. You're going to have to get established in the Lord to get to receive from the Lord. You can't be oscillating back and forth. You get into the presence, you stay in the presence. Anchor deep. You follow me? Anchor deep. Now in Ephesians he tells us, when you've done all you can do, stand. But you're not standing there naked. You're standing there fully armed, you understand. Your head's covered. Your heart's covered. Your reproduction center's covered. Your feet are covered. And if that's not enough, you have a shield in front of you to counter any darts that's coming at you by the enemy. And then he says you have the sword of the Spirit, and he identifies it, which is the Word of God. The Word coming out of your mouth is your offensive weapon. The Word covering you is your defensive weapon. Now, the only place you aren't covered is your backside. So I'd advise you not to turn and run. You meet the enemy head on. You defeat him by meeting him head on, not running from him. You understand? And so God has given us the equipment we need to get through the storms of life. This earth is going to be renovated. God's not giving up. He said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The people that dwell in it are His. Everything we see here belongs to God. But He said He wouldn't destroy it with water. He'll destroy it with fire. What's He going to do? He's going to take it through a purification process and burn it out and purge it. You understand? Well, He talked to us about the fire to where He wants to purify us. Let's get purified right now. And these things that are around us, putting the heat on. Would you agree? Making you a little uncomfortable. You go to the store and they don't have what you want. Or they have you standing in line to try to get into a place. What happens? Flesh gets upset. Don't get in the flesh. Stay in the Spirit. Stay anchored deep. Listen to the Spirit of God. Let's be directed by the Spirit. I believe God can tell you what time to go to the store. No, that's not far out there. Jesus said, we need to pass through this village. He had a divine appointment. Disciples went on while he stays at the well of Sychar, the fourth chapter of John. He had a divine appointment. You understand? And if we'll listen to God, we can know divine appointments and not miss an opportunity. God is looking out for our best interest, but we have to cooperate. We have to listen. We have to stay in His presence. When I say stay in His presence, I'm talking about keeping your mind on the Lord. That's how you stay in His presence. You keep your mind on the Lord. You will not, you will not keep your mind on the Lord reading worldly material, watching TV, listening to the news. You will not keep your mind on the Lord subjecting yourself to the world. This man's telling me to give up everything. I'm telling you to give up the things that will destroy you. I'm telling you to hold fast to the only thing that's going to take you through the storm. You understand? And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Anchor deep. Your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ and the integrity of God's Word is what's going to keep you from getting off course and from getting damaged. You'll have to stay in the Lord. Stay in the Lord. Anchor deep. You understand? You can't stop the shaking. You can just stop that from shaking you by being in an unshakable kingdom, walking in the Spirit. Think about this. In just a natural setting, natural building, physical people in there, if an earthquake comes, they'll get shook, right? Tossed around. But spiritual beings in there won't get shook or tossed around. Doesn't affect them. Does it? It doesn't affect you if you're walking in the Spirit. If you're walking in the Spirit, the things that try to come at you. Just think about the Psalm 91, where he says, 1,000 will fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand. But it won't come near me, only with my eyes will I behold and see the reward of the wicked. Why? Because I've made the Lord my refuge and the Most High God, the Most High my habitation. And because of that, no evil can come at me. No plague come at my dwelling. God has given an assignment to the angels to take charge of that boy. Bury him up in your hands. Don't let him hit his foot against the stone. And says, then you can walk on those demonic spirits. Tread upon lions and adders. You understand? You can put them under your feet. Because you, note this, set your love on Him, He will deliver you. You set your love on Him, He'll deliver you. And He'll set you on high, you've known His name. You understand? And it goes back to dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. I was sitting there in the office this afternoon, and I was thinking about Him and the little chicks, and my grandparents on my mom's side were farmers, and I was intrigued to see how, especially when a storm would come up, how the hen would lift its wings up And those little biddies would all gather in, and when that hen pulled its wings back down, you couldn't even see them. Covered. Covered. And that's what Psalm 91 says He'll do to us. He'll spread His wings. He'll cover us with His feathers. You understand? Keeping us safe and secure regardless of the storm around us. But you better be anchored deep in there. That's not the time to poke your head out to see what's going on. You with me? Stay buried in the Lord and quit trying to associate with both the world and God. You're going to live in one kingdom or the other, not in both. Let's choose the kingdom of God. Amen? Well, that's the message. You can build on